There is a memorial in Liberty State Park, just across the Hudson River from where the two World Trade Center towers once stood. The memorial is in remembrance of the 749 victims from New Jersey who were killed in the 9/11 terrorist attacks when the Twin Towers fell. It is called Empty Sky. The memorial is built with two parallel walls with the 749 names etched on the sides of the walls. Looking up, you only see empty sky. The architect seems to have captured the emptiness that many families felt when their loved ones were taken from them. Life would never be the same. There would forever be an emptiness in their hearts and lives. On this memorial weekend, we remember once again those who have died, especially those who sacrifice their lives in one of the many wars our nation has fought. We remember their bravery and their sacrifice, and we remember the grief and emptiness of the families who mourn their loss. On this Ascension Sunday, we might also use this image of an empty sky to remember the sadness and distress of those early disciples who witnessed Jesus ascending into heaven. Of course, they were still filled with joy, having witnessed Jesus' resurrection after his crucifixion. But then after 40 days, during which time he showed himself alive to them, he left them by ascending into heaven, leaving them looking up into an empty sky. Now, Jesus' ascension should have given them great joy. His work on earth was accomplished. All honor and blessing and glory was given to him. It was all good. But put yourself in the sandals of those early disciples. No doubt they felt abandoned. There was an emptiness in their lives when Jesus left them. The phrase that jumps out at me when I listen to Luke's account of Jesus' ascension is what the two men said, whom we assume to be angels, what they said as they watched, as the disciples watched Jesus ascending up into the clouds. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Or as one translation reads, why do you just stand there looking up on an empty sky? This must have felt to them like the ending of an amazing adventure with Jesus. They tagged along with him as he walked along on the roads of Galilee. They witnessed many miracles that he performed, miracles of healing. Along with him, they were caught up in the conflicts with the religious authorities in Jerusalem. It was not an easy life, but it was certainly memorable. And at the end, they witnessed the horrifying ending of his life, nailed to a cross. Many of them ran away, scared to death, lest they also be killed. But of course, they were overjoyed when they realized that Jesus had risen from the grave, and when he appeared to them on a number of occasions, it was almost too good to be true. But now he has gone away, and they are left gazing up into an empty sky. Artists have portrayed Jesus' ascension into heaven in various ways. For example, Salvador Dali, the Spanish surrealist painter in the last century, painted a picture dominated by Jesus' feet disappearing into a cloud. His feet were the last of what the disciples saw of Jesus, feet that had walked the dusty roads of Galilee, the disciples following his footsteps, feet that had been anointed with costly ointment and with tears of a sinful woman, feet that had been pierced by nails. Now, portrayed in this way, the focus seems to be on the ending of Jesus' life on earth. It's as if the Son ascends into heaven and sits down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and says, "Whew, I'm glad that's over. That's done." But I don't think that's exactly the way that we ought to understand the ascension. There are other portraits of Jesus' ascension that seem to be more accurate. These artists portray the ascension not so much as a going away, but rather as a transformation from Jesus having accomplished the work that the Father had sent him to do in his incarnation, to the church continuing to do God's work through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the body and spirit of Jesus remain with the church on earth. Now, if one looks at some of these portraits of the ascension closely, one can see the footprints of Jesus on the ground where the disciples are standing. These footprints represent Jesus' life and ministry on earth. These artists depict the ascension not as an ending, not as an empty sky, but as a remembrance of Jesus' life and work. Someone explained it this way. Instead of looking up, seeing Jesus' feet disappearing into the sky, the disciples look down at Jesus' footprints and are inspired to follow his way. But the ascension of Jesus is not only a remembrance of Jesus' life and work, it also marks the beginning of the Christian church's life and work. Before he left, Jesus instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit so that they might continue to do his work, to proclaim the gospel in ever-widening circles beyond the city of Jerusalem, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to show God's love to everyone. And so the angels ask, "Why do you just stand there looking up at an empty sky?" There is work to be done. And that's the question we might ask ourselves on this Ascension Sunday. Shall we just stand and wait for God to do something? Or shall we follow the footprints of Jesus? Are we ready to receive the Holy Spirit that God has promised? We are not left to do this work on our own. The physical, incarnate presence of Jesus has left, but the Holy Spirit has been sent in his place. And more about that next Sunday on the day of Pentecost. I wonder if the disciples looking up at an empty sky is a kind of metaphor for our natural inclination to look up and wonder what the Lord is going to do for us next. When is the Lord going to come down and fix all the things that are wrong with the world and solve our family problems and improve our financial situations? Or as the disciples asked Jesus, when will you come to restore the kingdom to Israel? There's some Christians who get caught up in speculation about when the Lord will come again. For example, some wonder if the increasing trouble in the Middle East or natural disasters like floods and earthquakes indicate that the Lord will come soon. So what is the point of trying to make the world better if time is running out? But Jesus said, never mind the times and dates. No one knows. The timetable for the kingdom is in God's hands. Or we stand here looking up into an empty sky by just waiting for some clear message from God about what to do in particular situations. We delay and procrastinate. Now, Jesus did tell his disciples not to leave Jerusalem right away, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower them to go into all the world. But that didn't mean that the disciples should just stand there staring up into the empty sky and waiting for the kingdom of heaven to come to them. Rather, Jesus promised them power from on high and challenged them to be his witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, but in Samaria and in ever-widening circles to the ends of the earth. Now, in a sense, we ought to be looking both up and down. Up if we visualize heaven as up, since we depend on power from on high, and down as we need to follow the footsteps of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote, "So if you've been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." He meant that we should live in the light of the resurrection. I've seen posters and plaques in homes with the inscription that says, "Keep looking up," with a pair of praying hands, that we ought to look to the Lord for daily guidance and direction. In fact, as we read on in the book of Acts, that's exactly what the disciples did right after the ascension. After the angels had spoken to them, they returned to Jerusalem to regroup, and they began to pray. But Jesus had told them that when they returned to Jerusalem, they should also not only pray, but be ready. To be ready to go out to proclaim the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we have a tendency in the church to keep looking up, or only looking up, rather than paying attention to what is going on in the world and what we need to do. Perhaps I've told you this story before about someone who was driving on an expressway in one of our large cities. As she came closer to the downtown area with all the tall skyscrapers, the driver seemed to be driving crazy, drifting from one lane to another, braking for no apparent reason, nearly colliding with each other. She couldn't figure out what in the world was going on, and it frightened her. But later that day, she turned on the radio to listen to the news. She learned that a daredevil mountain climber had been arrested for trying to climb up the side of one of those tall buildings. The drivers were all looking up to watch his progress instead of paying attention to their driving. It was a miracle that there were no serious accidents. But perhaps some people, ourselves included, sometimes practice that kind of faith, focusing on Jesus' departure and the empty sky without paying attention to the world around us, taking seriously our responsibility to be Christian witnesses in the world, and believing that Jesus' Spirit indeed remains with us. There was a pastor who was planning an ascension service in his church, and after reading the familiar text from Acts describing Jesus being lifted up and disappearing into a cloud, the pastor decided to dramatize this by going over to the Christ candle that was always lit during the service and blowing it out. But wisely, he did something else. Everyone was given a small candle as they entered into the sanctuary, just like at Christmas Eve. So before blowing out the Christ candle, so that when the Christ candle was extinguished with a little wisp of smoke curling up to the ceiling, all those flames of the parishioners who had come up to light their candle were flickering throughout the sanctuary. It dramatized the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of fire resting on the believers, giving them power, giving them the mandate to go out to be the light of the world, the light of Jesus. There was a Spanish Carmelite nun by the name of Teresa of Avila who lived back in the 16th century. It was the same time that the Protestant Reformation was going on. But in her own way, she was a reformer within the Roman Catholic Church. She wrote a prayer that I think expresses in a very down-to-earth way what it means that Christ ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to empower us. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out into the world. Yours are the feet with which he has to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless his people. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do exceedingly more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and to all generations forever and ever. Amen.